Well, thank you to the musicians today. Much appreciated. And Deb for leading the service so that we can round this out, you know, beginning and finishing. And thank you all for being here today. And Bill, as always, thank you for doing the magic with the buttons up there that makes things happen. So, this is it. You remember I said those three words last week, and it was an irony or maybe coincidence or maybe, you know, who knows what, that I got an envelope from where I was in Kalispell, Montana a few weeks ago, and the person who, I don't know who the person is, sent me a calligraphy saying, "This is it," because I talked about "This is it" with them back in April. So that seemed like, hopefully, a good omen. But indeed, this is it. It's my final Sunday service as a transitions minister after 30 years of that specialized ministry. And yes, next year, or after I move to Oregon in July, I'll have some long weekends in Montana with a Sunday service, an adult RE class, and whatever else I can come up with. And then I'll be doing some virtual Sunday services with the Jamestown, New York congregation. So I'm not going to be completely not busy. I'm going to be focused on a lot of things, but particularly these once a month things that I'm going to do just to keep my toes in the water. But I do think of the trail of ministry positions. Saugus, Massachusetts, Alton, Illinois, Tualatin, Oregon, Roseburg, Oregon, Port Angeles, Washington, Marysville, Washington, Springfield, Illinois, Woodinville, Washington, Yakima, Washington, Clemson, South Carolina, Bend, Oregon, Fort Worth, Texas, Seattle, Washington, and here. That's why I do transitions ministry, you know, because I get to move every place every 2 years, and, well, I've learned that moving every 2 years after 30 years gets a little bit old because I'm forcing myself to downsize everything except my books. It's not easy. But each time I do a final service to say goodbye, and there are a number of rituals that I do in order to say thank you. So the first gifts are for staff, and you know, you have an amazing staff. It's small but fervent. And would you please come up, Amy? So I always try to give a gift, not one that's going to be silly or anything. Jody is doing her crafts sales today, so she was not able to be here. And I will be giving her a gift after I get back from Maine, because I'm going to Maine tomorrow morning. But Amy, you have been such an amazing person with music, and as you know, I never argue with music directors. And you did so much behind the scenes over the last 4 years, especially with COVID. Now, I'm hoping that these will be useful for you, and you probably already know what they are. If perchance, well, why don't you take them out?
Oh, yay!
I assume that means that you have not given up coffee. Pete's coffee from Oakland, California. Mr. Pete, who's deceased some time ago, actually went to the Unitarian Universalist Church in Kensington, and so consequently, he always made the coffee, and then he got pissed off for some reason and never made coffee again and disappeared. But his coffee is still sold around the United States. The one thing I can tell you about this coffee, especially the coffee beans, is if you get up and you're just not wired for the day, just chew some of these coffee beans with some water, and I can guarantee you will be uplifted beyond your imagination. But thank you so very much, Amy, for all you've done.
Thank you.
I think that should have applause. I wish I could give gifts to every one of you today, but we would be here a long time, which would not be happy, and then I'd run out of money. I wouldn't know what to get for more gifts. because I don't like getting, you know, just tidbits of things. So one thing I am giving you, which you know already, this temple bell, not a singing bowl, a temple bell, I purchased in Portland, Oregon, and the Buddhist supply shop in Portland, Oregon is inside a comic book store, which somehow, you know, is appealing. And this is not an old temple bell. When I've been able to afford it, I've bought them, and they're quite a bit of money. But every congregation I've been in, I've always left one of these behind for you. So you can always ring it and know that in spirit I'm here. The meditation group, which Tall Paul, right down there, just wave your arms. There you go. Good. Thank you. He and others are going to be leading the meditation group once I leave, and they all know how to ring it properly. Like that. So this is my gift to you with deepest appreciation. Now, thinking back to what Deb said about the first service, and actually before that, when I arrived here from Seattle in the summer of 2019, I was disheartened, and I was kind of burned out at that time because, well, frankly, this West Seattle church, I was out of my element. It was above my pay grade. And I've learned since then here that I much prefer smaller congregations. And there was a lot of politics and UUA stuff going on at that time, and I was kind of caught in the middle of it. So I was very grateful to get out of town and then to find my way here. And you have given me 4 years of a wonderful gift of your presence and your virtue and your boundless dedication. I couldn't ask for a better congregation to wrap up my 30 years of ministry. So I looked up the first service that I did here, and it was in gathering service in 2019, and Deb was the service leader that day, and I was wondering, what was my theme? What was I talking about or babbling about or whatever? Well, your sanctuary building, as you know, is really imposing from outside, especially with the four pillars. Now, when I got here, I thought, well, maybe people think it's a temple, okay, or a bank building, or I don't know what else, a courthouse or something. So I wasn't sure how people really looked at it. But those pillars stand out. And so in that first service, I wondered, would each pillar represent something essential about this congregation? Now, you'd already had ideas about that, and on your website, you had put love, respect, reason, and justice. And those are like your vision and covenant and mission statements. But those are four really great values. But I came up with some more, which is probably my, my option here. And at that time, so I had suggested as an additional ones, spirituality, open-mindedness, future-focused, and joyful. So I wondered, well, how have we done with all that in 4 years, especially with COVID when we had to do everything virtually for 2 years? Well, spirituality to me, as I've said before, means relationship. It means better relationships with each other, with the world around us, with the cosmos, whatever it might be, relationship. And so there are many tools that we know of for deepening our spiritual connection to others. We have the weekly meditation group, the Tai Chi classes, the book discussions, the 12-step meetings here. All of those give us ways to be in the world with greater kindness, with greater patience, with greater compassion. Those are tools for people who may not want to be here on Sunday morning, but may want to be able to work on recovery or deepen their spiritual meditation practice or be involved in a book group that talks about woodpeckers and, you know, and so on. It's just a lot of things we can do as a religious community to help people find their center and learn how to return to it. I think that's really, really important. Now, open-mindedness means that we are flexible in our thinking. And there is, after all, the story, and I think it's mostly true, that Unitarian Universalists are noted for being open-minded. So here at church, you found ways to go beyond your comfort zones of history. Little things like the water fountain that's out there in the vestibule. And by the way, don't forget to turn the thing off after every Sunday service, because otherwise it'll burn out. Or big things like the solar panels, which is, for me, a big deal, especially since, as far as I know, you're the first religious community in this part of Pennsylvania to put those on and up. Your worship committee, so ably led by Karen Schreiber Mason, and with Corrine and Amy and Jody, because she takes the notes. That group has been instrumental in keeping us going over the last 4 years, and they come up with so many ways to fine-tune services so that they're new and refreshing and hopefully not boring. And I would predict that this coming year, you will never, ever have a boring service. If you do, don't call me. Future-focused is often a challenge. Congregations that I've been through have always said that they're rightfully proud of their past. Of course. And I was told by UUA staff before I arrived here that you were very proud of your past. And there was a little slight implication in those words that you might not be so excited about your future. But that was just one person, so I ignored it. Every place I've been, people will say versions of, "But we've always done it that way," and are reluctant to change. I think the pandemic, as I mentioned last Sunday, forced us, including me, to put aside our normal ways of doing Sunday services, providing pastoral care, and basically the business of church. I mean, how many of us knew how to use Zoom before COVID? Probably not all of us except Amy, who knows pretty much everything there is to know. But we learned. I learned. It's been great. I mean, it's not as good as being there in person, but we got stuff done, and we had Sunday services. It was really amazing. And then future-focused, also the unexpected bequest by Mrs. York, who gave you the gift of a considerable amount of money to upgrade the parish house, the commercial kitchen, the work that will be done to finally get the parlor done in coming months. Those are gifts, and especially that gift was totally unexpected. We had no idea it was coming. But that's focused on the future. The cameras and equipment here are ways to broaden your audience to people who may come here part of the year and may not, or people who are just interested. What is that church all about? Thanks to Bill and Rick Hogram, who is in Minnesota today, by the way, visiting his father, and Amy for purchasing and running the equipment. As I said last week, I don't know if you would have gotten around to that if we hadn't had COVID. And I think it's a very big step in your future. Your new vision that we read every Sunday is future-focused and beyond the walls of this sanctuary. It's easy to get trapped inside a sanctuary, a church community, and not think about the outside. But now you are, and I think that's pleasurable. And then that last pillar, joy. The pandemic wasn't fun at all, and we know that. It seemed hard to find any joy as people we knew, including some of us, came down with COVID, and we know people who died. However, I believe that joy is essential to your future, and especially when it comes to your bicentennial in 2025. So here are a couple of things about joyful noise that might be useful, or you can say, yeah, whatever. One of them involves the ever-changing topic of applause in church. Every place I've been to has this issue come up sooner or later. Can we applaud in church, or do we wave our hands? And the worship committee discussed this weighty matter last week at some length, and I think they're still discussing it. The Springfield, Illinois congregation had had similar issues about, do we applaud or not during the service? Is it going to insult somebody? If somebody does a terrible sermon like me, do you applaud that? And there was some issue around that, and the music director and pianist, who was a professional pianist, every Sunday, she'd get very upset when people would applaud her pieces of music right after they were done. She was not a happy person about it. She said, I'm not performing. I'm giving you a gift of service. You don't have to applaud it. But later, she decided, after we talked about it a bit, that everyone applauding at the end of the service was really good because she said, and she used to be evangelical, she said that applause was a Unitarian Universalist form of saying amen. So that worked, and people would applaud at the end. Now, I don't know how you're going to handle all of that. I don't know how you're going to figure it out. Karen will probably have ideas. I know Amy has ideas, and you do too. And one way or another, you're going to continue to make a joyful noise. But another joyful noise is even more important, to me anyway. The sound of people at a potluck. Now, I know we have one today for whatever reason. For anyone who would like to stay, you don't need to have brought food, just companionship and enjoying other people who are really wonderful people, and I can tell you, you're wonderful. I think there are plans to have monthly potlucks in September. Melissa, is that correct? Right. And by the way, she's in charge of them, so I had to put that one in. So, some places where I've been have had themed potlucks during months with holidays. For example, February is Valentine's Day, as we know. So a lot of the food offerings were either heart-shaped or red. I'm not quite sure what those would have been. Or other themes of love. Thanksgiving was a Thanksgiving potluck. And so every month, which had a big holiday, the potluck would have that theme. And it isn't every month, but anyway, it worked there, and maybe that will be useful so that you can sit and join for have food together and talk and listen and be together. Now, some of you asked me why I'm leaving and retiring from full-time ministry, really even part-time. Mostly, I realized several years ago that I wasn't burning out, but I was ready to move on to the next phase of my life. Moving every 2 years for almost 30 years had gotten a bit old. And I still haven't downsized my books. I promised Deborah, my life partner in Oregon, that I would come back there at some point so we would have more time together. And I realized about, 4 or 5 years ago that as much as I love transitions ministry and it's really an exciting form of ministry because I get to be bossy sometimes. I realized that I wasn't enjoying it as much, and partly because of the journey of the UUA right now and their particular focus points, that I wasn't going to be involved in that, so I said, okay, it's time. This organization is not the one I joined in 1986, and so, well, that is that. So I have a place to live about 4 miles from Deborah's house in Eugene, and someone asked, why aren't you living with Deborah? It's because her daughter and her granddaughter and 2 dogs and 3 cats are living in a small house. There's not room for one more, especially a male, or and a cat. So what I'm going to do is work with bonsai, get my bonsai tools out, and work more in black and white photography. I think this new phase of my life will bring me much joy as I get used to open schedules and fewer Sunday services to plan, not having to wonder, have I told this story before, and not worry about it. It'll be great, I think. Now, one of the old truisms of transitions ministry is a statement I've heard many times, and this is very valid, by the way. If you haven't pissed people off, you've not done your job. If you haven't pissed people off, you haven't done your job. Now, that sounds a little arrogant and a little bossy and a little bit odd in a church. But it really means that sometimes my job is to push the congregation out of its comfort zone and get them upset. Because if they get upset, they're going to be going, this is my church, goddammit. And I want to have it at least not the way you want it. It builds passion. It builds an open door so that people come out of their comfort zones and are able to say, well, maybe. But they defend their church because they care about it. And that's the most important part. So I do expect over time that I've made people angry. And I would be surprised after 4 years if I haven't. So my ritual always, in all the places I've been, is to apologize for any harm I have caused and to ask forgiveness. So I say this 3 times in each place where I am. For any harm I have caused due to my thoughts, words, and deeds, I apologize for them and ask for your forgiveness. For any harm I have caused due to my thoughts, words, and deeds, I apologize for them and ask your forgiveness. And finally, for any harm I have caused due to my thoughts, words, and deeds, I apologize for them and ask your forgiveness. Now, finally, you may recall in the last 2 Sundays that I mentioned how many times people I know have connections to Meadville. Remember that? Yeah. It's almost like a cosmic interdimensional focal point, this area. At least that's my excuse. Here's a little bit more just to add to the frosting on the cake. I'm on a Clergy with Cats page on Facebook, and you knew I was going to have to bring up cats sooner or later. And there are about 3,000 clergy, really of all faith traditions, from around the world on that page. And it's been a very good group for commiseration and helping one another. And so it's really been helpful to me in recent years. But somebody said, where's everybody from? Well, we didn't have all 3,000 people respond, which was probably a good thing. But I mentioned, oh yes, I'm from Meadville, Pennsylvania, and I'm moving back to Oregon in July. A Lutheran clergy person named Karen wrote back almost immediately to say, oh, my husband is from Meadville. 2 other clergy, Angela from Maryland and Pam from Oregon, chimed in to say that they studied at Allegheny College, classes of 1981 and 2007. I still believe there's something magical and wondrous about this area, and I believe part of that wonder is right in this sanctuary. So my final thoughts are simple. Live it, nurture it, find it if you lose it, and it's right here, and it's a gift to the generations to come. Because don't be afraid to jump off that cliff. You already know how to do it. You've done it over 200 years, and you're going to do it again as we go now. So have fun, enjoy, fly gloriously, and remember, always to find joy, because there is nothing, in my opinion, more important than that. Done. However, you're not done, because at this point, we take the weekly offering to help and support this religious community. Our Share the Plate recipient this month is Early Learning Center, and so the ushers will come forward, give as you are able. And thank you very much as we listen to some beautiful music. Now let's applaud.